Greetings and welcome to our study on 2 Timothy. Today we're going to be looking at chapter 3 and starting in verse 6. Chapter 3 is a continuation of Paul's recommendation to Timothy to focus on sound doctrine. In the first chapter, he said that it was vital that Timothy hold on to sound doctrine, that there would be a lot of temptations to go other directions, but to hold on to sound doctrine. In chapter 2, he said, it's not just hold on to sound doctrine, but you must teach sound doctrine. And teach sound doctrine, especially in a way that is effective, that people will listen. He closes chapter 2 with the need to be gentle and to share in a way that people will not react or overreact to it. But it wasn't enough just to teach truth and sound doctrine. He said it's also important to abide in it or to live sound doctrine. In the first five verses, which constituted one whole sentence, he just says, listen, there's going to be times that are painful. There are going to be terrible times, terrible periods where it's going to be very difficult because people who are lovers of themselves will come in and they will try to pull people away and will create all kinds of difficulties. But he says, you have nothing to do with them. And these people who are going to cause all this trouble, he picks up with in verse 6. And I'm going to read this, it's one that could create some controversy or consternation. But let's just deal with what Paul writes. Verse 6, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. They are the kind, talking about these men, these teachers, these people who are lovers of themselves and have created all kinds of trouble because they have a form of godliness but deny it. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. They will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. So he begins by saying these are the men, these are the kind who worm their way into the homes and gain control over weak-willed women. Now, understand, first of all, this is not an attack on women. In general, but on some specific women that he is dealing with. So it's not an attack against women or on all women, but he does say something here that before we get into what he's saying is something we need to understand, and that is that women, he says, are the key to the home. They worm their way into homes, but they gain control of them through the women. And it's always been God's design, God's plan, God's systems, that homes are centered around the women. They are the queen of the home. They are the ones who become the key components to the children in the home, to the nature of the home. And Paul has dealt with this in a variety of ways, from encouraging Timothy to find men to serve as elders, by also looking at their wives, because the wives of these elders will have a lot to say about the kind of men these elders or potential elders would be. It says a lot about, he says a lot about how women, unlike the way they were viewed in those days by all the other cultures, had a lot of importance. The Bible doesn't consider women second rate. They consider women very important, much more important than the other cultures of the day, just viewed them as different. And so while God elevates women, he doesn't make women the same. They're equal in many respects, and in some respects they have a greater role. And the home is in one area in which women carry a much greater role, whether it is through childbirth, child rearing, helping their younger children grow and become productive adults as they move through their childish years. They are the key to the home, and he emphasizes that here, that these men want to get into homes, but they do it through the women. If you control, he says, basically, if they control the women, it's going to change the nature of the children in the home. And then one day, those children will be swayed, not through any effort of the false teachers who are trying to move them, but instead they're being changed by the moms themselves who have been swayed by these false teachers. And so he talks about there being the key, but he defines the specific women he's talking about here. Number one, they're weak-willed. These are women who have, for a variety of reasons, perhaps, the inability to feel confident and secure in their relationship, perhaps with their family, with their husband, with their society, but especially with God. They don't feel secure and trusting in their relationship with God. They are weak-willed. They may understand what's right, but it's easy to sway them. It's easy to move them. They find it difficult to put their foot down and say, this is truth, I don't care what you say, but instead they're easily swayed. Secondly, and this may explain part of the reason why they're weak, they're laden with sin, laden with sin, and swayed by evildoers. So these are people, these are women who have sin in their life, and they are very conscious of it, that they're sinful people. And the people that they listen to, that they respond to, are evil people. They, for whatever reason, have chosen to be swayed by the evil, not those who are godly. It may be connected to their sin. Sometimes when you're burdened by a sin, you begin looking for other people who also have the same issues so that you can connect to them. You feel like, or you find someone who's a little worse than you are so you can feel like you're okay and because you're not nearly as bad as they are. Or people that look up to you because perhaps you don't have the sin as serious as they do. And so you look for a little bit of attaboy by trying to get other people around who are struggling even more than you are. But here are women who have sin and they're laden with this sin and they're listening to evildoers. And it says there, they're always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Because when you're laden with sin, what you're supposed to do is repent. And what they're not doing is repenting. And instead, it says that they're learning. They're learning. They're learning. They're studying. They're asking questions. But they never are able to acknowledge the truth. They never connect with the truth that would lead them to repentance. But instead, they continue to sin. They continue to hang on to their sin. They continue to be swayed by evildoers. And instead of saying, no, what God says is right and what they say is wrong, and I'm going to turn my back on that and instead walk toward God and repent, instead they keep looking for an answer, often looking for an answer that okays what it is they're doing. It's certainly been my experience in counseling from time to time to meet people who are looking for an answer that they're looking for. Instead of listening to what is truth or responding to the person who's trying to help them by explaining what's true and what is reality, they're instead looking for someone else who will come along and say that what they think or what they feel is okay, it's right, it's what they should be feeling, and then they don't really have to feel bad. They're instead of wanting to cope with this problem, by finding someone who'll say it's okay and excuse it for them. And so these specific women are the ones that Paul is warning Timothy, you're going to have to deal with, because there are going to be these women who are going to be swayed, and in doing so, they are going to be on that side that is pulling people away from you or wanting to be excused by you to live the way that they've wanted to live, and you instead have to be very cautious of them. Verse 8, he says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. Moses, if you remember the story of Moses and the magicians, he came into Pharaoh and he threw a staff down and it became a snake, and Pharaoh would turn to his magicians and they would try to repeat it or try to overcome it. And it is in Hebrew history, Hebrew folklore, that Jannes and Jambres were perhaps the ringleaders of Pharaoh's magicians. And so Paul is talking about two men here who are not recorded in the Bible. They're not named, but the Hebrews recognized these men as either the ones or who represented the ones who were opposing Moses as one of as two of Pharaoh's magicians. The story goes that they, when they couldn't defeat the Hebrews, couldn't defeat Moses, they decided to accompany the Hebrews. And so when the Hebrews left Egypt, they came out with them. And it is suggested that they're the ones who recommended that Aaron build the golden calf when things were going well. And so Paul here goes evidently outside of Holy Scripture to use a common example that these people would have recognized, that Timothy would have understood, and use that as an example of what he needs to be careful of. Don't be like Jannes and Jambres, who oppose Moses and oppose the truth. Now, they were men of depraved minds who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. Now, he closes this section, verse 9, but they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. There's three things he says here, I think. Number one, God's foundation is firm. They will not get very far. Sometimes it seems like there are depraved people who are lovers of themselves, and they are causing a lot of trouble from the outside toward the church or from the inside in the church. But God's foundation is firm, and he says they're not going to destroy God's kingdom. Secondly, he says faithful people will see through it. Something that we can be confident of, their folly will be clear to faithful people. Faithful people who understand sound doctrine, who have taught sound doctrine, who want to live sound doctrine, will see clearly that what these men are recommending, what these women are suggesting, is not truth, and they'll see through that. But even those people who are not in the church will eventually see it. The reality is that the world is fickle, and the same people that run toward someone who's teaching something different, unique, or against God, will, because of their lack of foundation, their lack of moral certitude, will be the same people who will one day reject the very ones that they accepted. And so even amongst those who have depraved minds, even amongst those who maybe are clueless to what God really wants, will eventually see the folly, and they will look for the next fad. They will look for something that works, because the reality is what these people are suggesting doesn't work, because they're rejecting the sound doctrine, the truth, the teaching that God gave. God created us. Christ and the Spirit helped create who we are. And they understand what it is that we need to do, how we need to live, what we need in our lives, the systems that we need to follow in order for us to be successful. And when you go against those and you suggest another system, eventually it's seen as something that doesn't work. It doesn't provide what's wanted and desired by the people who are even listening to it, maybe wanted it. They eventually see, it's just not worth it. And so he says, don't worry, they will not get very far because their folly will be clear to everyone. So he says, stay true to sound doctrine. Live sound doctrine. And in doing so, you'll be able to bring those people that you're teaching, those people you're protecting, along with you toward eternal life. So that's the end of this section of chapter 3. We'll pick up with the next section in our next study. And until then, I hope that you have a blessed day.